My name's Jeanette. I'm intentional in my marriage with my husband by getting up an hour earlier than we need to in the morning to have our breakfast together and start our day off either with time in the Word or praying together and just talking to each other and investing in each other's lives. So that's how we're intentional.
Change your life, Jeanette. I am convinced, and the research shows it, couples who do pray together, go to church together, the divorce rate is much lower. I saw a couple at church just last Sunday, in fact, when they were doing communion in front of us, and they were bowing their head together, praying together, holding hands, and I was thinking, as I observed that, this is a couple whose marriage will survive a lifetime because they have the bond around what matters most. So you can imagine today we're going to start talking about marriage in terms of getting on the same page and being on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, what can you do to get there? And we're going to focus on that together. Just before we do, though, I want to say a huge thank you to everybody over the last 10 days or so. Those of you who have called, those of you that went online, those of you that got in touch with us and said you want to stand up and be a part of the support for intentional living. Thank you so much. We can't do what we do without your help. We're listener-supported. We don't have any big grants or sponsors that underwrite to keep us going. It's your support that makes it possible. And, of course, thank you for your support for the station as well. If you missed out, you say, hey, I missed that. I was out of town or whatever. You can still join us, of course. Just go to theintentionallife.com. All right, let's get started with Amanda. She and her husband are not on the same page. Maybe you can relate to this call that she left with us. Take a listen.
I just want to know what to do, I guess, about the situation with me and my husband. He has been born again for 8 years, and I received salvation 2 years ago. And every time we talk about our Lord and King, he tells me to be quiet. He's been doing this new agey thing where he's actually taking the credit for the things that I know that God is doing in our lives. And I don't know how to respond. And I'm a Christian through and through. It's what I do. It's who I am. That's how I live. And I get so excited about the new things that I'm learning, and I want to share them with him. But, he doesn't want to talk about it with me.
I imagine. Amanda, listen, thank you for calling and sharing that, leaving that with us. And I can only imagine the pain you must feel. There's something about marriage. God intended for marriage to be a place that is safe, intimate, secure. We can talk about anything. When we disagree, we can do it respectfully. Ultimately, as believers, that we can be on the same page and walking in the same direction, because it really gets back to this whole thing of not being equally yoked together. And of course, that picture of these two oxen with, you know, being in a yoke, and when they're not pulling in the same direction, it's got to be exhausting and painful. And so when we get on the same page, going in the same direction. Now, that's why we give the warning, if you're not married and you're dating and thinking about getting married, don't discredit this stuff. I have a whole list of 10 things on our website that say, here's 10 reasons not to get married, okay? And one of them is this issue of we're not on the same page about our values and beliefs and things about money and family and so on. Because when we're not on the same page and we do get married, it creates a tension that we have to live with. Now, for those who are married, if that's like Amanda, and you're saying, hey, you know, we're not on the same page spiritually, how do I deal with this? I want to share what I'm experiencing. God is doing amazing things in my life. Here's what we have to do. We have to be realistic with our expectations. Because the thing that gets us into huge trouble in our relationships and in our marriage is when an expectation is not met with reality. You can't change your spouse, Amanda. You can't change him. You can pray for him. You need to do that. And you need to focus on the areas where you do have agreement. Maybe you have agreement about your money, about your family, about a lot of areas. But what happens is when we get so pain-focused that we go to the place where it's painful, and that becomes the center point of our relationship, it's kind of like having a, you know, I hit my toe this morning when I got up. I got up, and you ever hit your toe on a door casing? And it still hurts, but I can feel it in my foot. And I can let my whole, if I pay attention to it, like I'm in pain. And I think what happens in our marriages sometimes, we get a pain point like that, and it can overtake us, and we put all the focus on that one thing instead of saying, hey, my arms are working fine, my hands are working fine, my mind's working fine, it's just my toe hurts, right? And sometimes in our marriages, we can become overtaken by the areas where it's painful. All right. You're welcome to join in. Do you have some pain points in your relationship, maybe areas of where you're not on the same page spiritually or financially? I'd like to give you some help. We're going to talk about getting our expectations clear and on the same page. So if you have a question, you can join us at 888-888-1717. And again, we're on Facebook Live today, and you can find that at facebook.com/intentionalliving, or come on over to our website at theintentionallife.com. If you have a comment or you have a question for me, we'll get to it there as well. So come on in and join us. 888-888-1717.
When my husband and I married 40 years ago, I was a Bible-believing Christian, but had not been a churchgoer on an ongoing basis since I was a teenager. And my husband was he still doesn't go to church very much. But like I said, it's been 40 years. He has seen faith in my life. I am a strong believer in Lord Jesus, have been all along. I am who I am. He is who he is. And that's how we live our lives. However, over that 40 years, he has come back to faith a whole lot more. And he tells me that it's because he's seen me live my faith. Hope that helps somebody else to live their faith. Thank you.
We do impact each other, don't we? We influence each other. We'll be getting to all of our calls here in just a moment. I want to remind you, though, that we've got our phone reassigned now where you can call and leave your comments on our comment line. Today, we are talking about one thing that you can do or you are doing to help get your marriage or keep your marriage on track. You can call 888-888-1717. Reminder that the callers today are all recorded from a previous program, and so your calls will go to our comment line. I do want to mention, starting up next week, we're going to be really focusing on the power of one thing and want your stories. We want to hear how one thing is making a difference in your life, one thing in your marriage, one thing in your finance. You can be a part of this journey to help other people, what God has been teaching you. We're going to be getting to all of that with just a real laser focus on how to be intentional through the power of one thing. We'll be getting into that starting more next week. So I hope you'll make an appointment to come and join us here or on our podcast to listen in to what we're talking about when we focus on the power of doing one thing for intentional living. And Donna really gave us a sample of that. One thing for her marriage, focusing on her marriage and just living her faith. That was her one thing. It's made a difference. All right, let's get to that first caller. Jackie from Tennessee is on the line. Jackie, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your call. What's your question today from Tennessee?
I've been married for almost about 22 years, and I guess we have a special needs child who's going to be 18 and going through a lot of severe behaviors with him right now because of puberty and a lot of medication changes. And I guess I grew up kind of differently than my husband. So we're both Christians. We both love the Lord, but he comes off very rough and gruff and very to the point. And I appreciate his perspective because I'm in the thick of it, and he can see the forest. I'm in the thick of it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But sometimes his words are really tough where he says, it's either me or him. You can't have us both. I can't live in the same house with him behaving this way. And I don't know how to take that. And, you know, this has happened now four times.
Well, how do you take it?
And
how do you take it?
I don't respond.
No, but I mean, what's going on internally? I mean, what are you feeling when he says that to you?
It's been 22 years. You know, I've been putting through, It's nothing is ever perfect. Everyone has to work through life.
Yeah.
And we're never given the kids that we think that we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
We have one perfect child, and then we have a child with disabilities.
Mm.
And it just rips us apart.
Yeah. So you're getting close to that feeling, though. What does that feel like to you, Jackie?
It just feels betrayal.
Okay.
Almost abandonment.
Yeah.
I'm the sole caregiver. And, you know, I share everything I can, the experiences that I can. I try to involve him in every decision. And it's come to a point where he's not able to handle those decisions anymore.
And you're carrying the whole load, it feels like, or you feel like you are.
Yeah, and I'm spilling over.
Yeah.
I tell my family's like, we know him, we understand what you're going through, tell us how we can help. But, you know, again, I'm the one who gets the brunt of the words.
Well, Jackie, listen,
you know,
I
no help.
And I think we're getting closer to what you're really experiencing. You mentioned the betrayal. You're feeling, you know, a lot of things, a lot of emotion. And you got an 18-year-old son. He has special needs. And listen, Jackie, here's what happens in marriages. And we see this. The statistics are clear that when we get a crisis in a marriage, and sometimes it can be a special needs child, it can be a death of a child, it can be some major financial reversal or illness, it puts so much strain on the marriage. I heard a pastor one time say, life is like a tea bag. When it's in cool water, not much comes out. But when you take a tea bag and you put it into boiling water, whatever's in that tea bag will come out into that water. And I have seen in working with couples that when they're in the kind of stress that you're in, Jackie, the daily realities of what you're facing, it's kind of like hot water bringing out what's in the relationship. And my guess is your husband is hurting, you're hurting, and what happens in so many marriages, instead of pulling together, what's this opportunity with your son to love him and care for him has become a wedge between the two of you, it sounds like.
Yeah, and he loves him.
Sure.
My son loves his dad too much. But, you know, again, he's very fearful when he gets a spanking or he gets, you know, reprimanded verbally. And
he doesn't know how to respond. And everybody responds differently. Let me encourage you, Jackie. Listen, the two of you, and everyone listening or viewing this is saying the same thing. You guys got to get on the same page. You've got to get some help for yourself, some relief for yourself, some people to give you a break. You and your husband got to work together. The scripture says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. But pity the person who falls down has no one there to help them. And I think what I'm hearing with you, Jackie, is this sense that you're carrying this load all alone by yourself. Jackie, we're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you now. But I want to challenge you to speak with your husband about, honey, we have this together. We're in this together. We've got to get some help for this. And sit down. That's intentional living. Sometimes intentional living is not something we do. Sometimes intentional living is getting someone to help us do the next right one thing because we're so overwhelmed. Father, I do pray for Jackie in Tennessee today. She's overwhelmed. Her husband probably is as well. Lord, they have an opportunity and they have a crisis and they have a challenge. And there's people listening right now who've been through this. It could offer some help and encouragement, I'm sure, as well. But Father, I just pray that you'll allow them, encourage them, provoke them, prompt them to reach out and get some help, get some encouragement, get some instruction that people can come alongside and help them through this. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, today, maybe you've been going through some tough times like what you're hearing, maybe not quite so much, but the fact is you're not on the same page. And when you're not, it creates a lot of strain. We'd love to have you join us. We're here to help today. This is Intentional Living. 888-888-1717 is the number. Or if you're viewing on Facebook today, you can post your question or comment there on Facebook Live today at All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com to find Facebook, or go to facebook.com/intentionalliving, okay? Viola is on the line in New Mexico. Welcome to the program today, Viola.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, my husband and I have been married 19 years, and we clearly celebrate the other person's day differently, like birthdays, Mother's Day, Christmas, you know, anniversary. When it's something that we're celebrating him, I feel like I go all out, but I don't receive the same sort of treatment or, I don't know what the word is. You know, I don't receive the same sort of thing when it's my day. Like, Monday was our anniversary. We were married 19 years. And, you know, I guess our expectations are just different.
Yeah.
I expect something, you know, other than happy anniversary, honey, you know, and so, of course, then you feel sad that day because you didn't get that. And I just feel like after 19 years and expressing myself, you should already know that, you know.
Well, listen.
A little more effort should be made.
Viola, a friend of ours, Gary Chapman, wrote a best-selling book called The Five Love Languages.
Yes.
And in that book, Gary talks about the fact that each of us will have our own kind of unique love language, and it sounds like yours is gifts.
Or spending time together.
Or spending time together.
Yes.
Yeah. And what is his love language, if you've read that book?
I have read that book. I think that he, you know, touch is important to him. Words of affirmation are important to him. I do think that he likes spending time together, so I was kind of a little surprised when Monday we didn't plan a day together, you know.
Well, you're hurt by this, if I hear you.
I feel like I'm having a little pity party, you know. And
and you have shared this with him.
Many times.
Yeah.
Because this has happened so many times.
Yeah, well, we know we're talking intentional living here, Viola, and here's the reality. We pay for this stuff in our marriage. When we miss the love language of our spouse and we're not intentional in trying to speak the language that's important to them, we're going to pay for it, right? Do I get an amen from the crowd there? Amen. We pay for this. We pay for it in lots of ways in marriage. And I think what we hear Viola saying is, in some ways, your husband's probably paying for this in ways that you wish he didn't have to.
Right.
Yeah, and because that's just human, that's part of the human condition. And so I'm going to be real practical with you. Get the book out, The Five Love Languages. Do you think your husband would be willing to sit down and just read it together? You guys just make it a kind of a marriage thing to read it through, talk about it, and really understand what his love language is and talk a little more about yours, and let him know how you feel about this. Sometimes, well, listen, some of us as guys, we're a little thick. We've got to get it through our head.
Yes. Well, we read it together. We studied it together because it was part of a study that we went to.
Oh.
And so, you know, I'm just kind of surprised. And I know men and women are different, you know, but...
Yeah, but you're more than surprised. You're hurt.
I'm hurt, yes.
Have you ever said that to him?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because, it makes you feel, not valued.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would encourage you then, Viola... If you continue to focus on what's not in your marriage, it's going to continue to hurt. We can't make you can't make a person love you in marriage. You can't do that the way you want to be loved. You can't do it. You've shared. You've gone through the sessions. You've read the book, and you know this, Viola. But I would really encourage you then to stay focused on how you love him, the things that you do to love him, and keep that as your number one priority. Because what happens is the Bible talks about getting bitterness, a little root of bitterness starts to grow up in our lives. And when that happens, it creates a huge problem. We'll be praying for you. Got to reread the book. Maybe open it to that chapter and leave it on the coffee table. We'll be back with more, 888-888-1717. Or if you have a question or comment on Facebook Live today, we'll try to get to those as well in just a minute. You know, all good things begin with an aha moment. some awareness. Sometimes it's an oh no moment, but hopefully it's an aha moment. Like Henry Ford, when he had that aha moment that he wanted to see a car in every garage, or Bill Gates had the same idea, but for computers, saying to see a computer on every desk. Our founding fathers had an aha moment where they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. What a powerful aha moment that changed all of our lives and impacted the whole world. But as I've shared before, the most important aha moments are these personal moments, those that affect us on a very individual level, as we listen to God and understand what God's intention is for our life. That's an excerpt from the content this month on how aha moments can change your life. And we're here at the end of the month, just a few days to go. And I want to thank those of you over the last 10 days who've called, gone online, gotten involved to help us. This is such a significant month. September is our gathering month, our share month. And if for any reason you missed out last week, for any number of reasons, want you to know that you're still welcome to come and join us here, and we're happy to receive you. You can join us online, your monthly support. We want to send you a copy of my latest book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions. It's my gift to you for joining in monthly support, plus the teaching on how aha moments can change your life. All you have to do to join us is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. There's always a little donate icon. Click on it there and then come along and be a part of it. This book on Freedom from Hijacked Emotions focuses on something we're facing today: anxiety, anger, fear, worry, all the emotions that can be hijacked, the negative emotions that can hurt us. And I think you'll find this to be something that will encourage you or someone that you know. So it's just an added bonus to say thank you for signing up to be a part of the Intentional Living Community with your monthly support. Again, just go to theintentionallife.com and you'll see the donate icon. Click on it. And I just want to say in advance, thanks to those of you that joined us over the last 10 days and those of you doing so today. Thank you for your support.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Let's go. Let me see. We got a question that came in from Jody on Facebook. She says, my husband isn't strong in his faith in Christ, and I'm struggling as a wife because we're not agreeing on a lot of stuff, from communication is one of the problems. Part of the reason, we're dealing with the past. We've been separated for a second time now. Mike, here's the question that Jody's asking. She says, if my husband chooses not to go forward to get the help he needs, what's the next step for me? Since I'm tired of the blow-ups when I address these issues over and over. Listen, I'll tell you something. This happens in marriage. And sometimes I wish it didn't have to happen. I wish it never had to happen, but we live in a fallen world with human beings where we mess up in our relationship. But just like a slow leak in a tire, there's a point where it's better to have the blowout. And I don't mean a blow up, but a blowout, which means the car stops moving and we've got to change the tire. And for you, I think there's a point, Jody, where there's got to be, for you and your husband, kind of we've got to sit down and get to the bottom of the problem. This can't continue. Whatever it is that you're really feeling, what I find with people is when you wait until the blow up occurs, sometimes that's too late. By the time it just blows up, it's kind of like there's so much damage done in a relationship. It's much better to have the blow out of the tire so you can fix it. So to get to the counselor, get to your pastor, and just have a serious discussion to be able to say, honey, I love you, but I just can't continue like this. We've got to talk this through. And whenever we do that, when we do it with anger, that creates a problem. And so if you can do this and stay above it, that'll be a lot better, okay? All right. We'd love to hear your comments or questions as well when you join us. Speaking of that, we have comments coming in online from Facebook. about Amanda, our first caller today. He was concerned for Amanda and the tough and lonesome marriage that she's involved in. And so we're praying for her as well. Stephen also commented on Facebook. Thank you for all you do, listening every day on the radio. Glad to be here for you. If you have a comment for me or a question, you're welcome to leave it at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. And when you support the ministry, we thank you so much because you help us see together lives being changed and stories like this made possible.
I had been tearing my husband down, and I needed to make some changes because I wasn't going to change him. I needed to change me.
If you're going through marital problems, I think you have to focus on the other person and not on what you're feeling, especially if you're a sensitive person like myself.
I was talking down to him, and I'm a control freak. I did not realize what it was doing to him until one day he said, "I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce."
When I started to show my wife love and understanding and kindness, she wondered what was going on. You know, where's this coming from, this guy who I was fighting with for so long?
So I tried to start building him up, complimenting him. Instead of trying to be in control, he didn't know how to take it at first. That was the hardest part, was to get through him knowing that I was serious about making those changes.
And she wanted what I had, what we used to have, what we had at the beginning of our relationship, those very same things, the joy, the love, the sharing, the kindness. That's what I showed her. That's what she responded to, and that's what saved our marriage.
He said a prayer and asked God to give us many more years together. He started making his own changes and started really building me up, and it just became more of a team rather than one against one.
Boy, there's not much I can add to those comments. I mean, if you've been looking for something today in the show that's focusing on getting on the same page, you just heard people saying, this is what I did. This is the difference it made. Here's how my spouse responded to it. The question is asked, can you change a marriage alone? And my answer is many times yes. Many times yes. Not always. Sometimes people get so hardened in their hearts and their attitudes, they're not going to change no matter what happens. But if you have a spouse that cares and you care, you take the first step. And when you do, it can be transformational in getting on the same page with your spouse. Hey, love your feedback today. Tell us what you've learned and one thing you're going after at theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. Got to run. See you next time from Intentional Living.